Tonight, as we go to Mark chapter 10 and look at the very last part of this chapter, 46 to 52, you know, this will be a little bit different type of a message tonight. I like these kind of sermons because we've been dealing with a lot of stuff lately. I mean, here in Mark chapter 10, man, we spent a couple weeks on marriage and divorce, and we've looked at this rich young ruler, and we've looked at a lot of things here, and hopefully we've learned some things. We come to a passage tonight that when I read this passage, 46 to 52, I just can't help but see salvation, a picture of salvation. This passage just, I don't know if you ever thought of the blind man as a picture of salvation, but it just screams salvation to me, and I don't know any other way to preach it for this. I couldn't get away from this. When I read this passage, it was just like, man, this is how I have to preach this tonight. Now, I'm looking at a group of people that, as far as I know, have all put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Okay, we don't have any brand new people that we've never met and we're not sure. I know you folks. Okay, so here we have a body of believers who are saved and they have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So you tonight are not going to find out something that you needed to know to be saved because you're already saved. But I'm excited about this because, you know that old song? Hold on, it's in my head. Let me get the name. I love to tell the story. And it talks about how those that know it best, you know, seem, and I always mess this up, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Is that how that part goes? Yeah. Look, the salvation message is first of all, most important to the people that are not saved and need to hear it to be saved. But when the pastor gets up and preaches about salvation, the believers ought not, you know, just shut down, okay, wake me when he's done, I've already got this. It ought to be just as exciting and stirring for us to be reminded of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Don't you have photo albums at home? They're kind of becoming a thing of the past with digital cameras and things like that. But I tell you what, growing up, I used to really like to get the photo albums out. My mom always had a stack of them, and I'm sure she still has them. And man, I'd get those things out, and I'd look, and I'd remember, you know, that birthday and that Christmas and people that had passed away. And, you know, then you come across relatives that are gone, and maybe you cry a little bit, and you miss them, you know. But the photo albums, look, we know the people. We were there. We knew what happened. But don't we like to be reminded? Don't you just like to, when you get together with a friend you haven't seen for a while, what do you always end up talking about? Something you did that was fun. Do you remember that time we took that trip to wherever? You remember what you said to that, you know, that person? I mean, we like to remember. It's comforting to remember. It's exciting to remember. It's fun to remember. There's no more comforting story for us to remember than the day we got saved. There's no better story to remember and bring comfort than what Christ Jesus did for us. So tonight, I just can't help but see salvation in this passage, and that's how I want to present this tonight, a picture of salvation. And I just think that tonight it'll be just a good old message of hopefully God will use it to just kind of rejuvenate us and remind us. I don't believe you're going to walk out learning any new great doctrinal truths that you've never heard before. No, I think we'll walk out of here saying, praise God, we just took a good long drink and just got refreshed. Not because of the preaching of this fella, but because of what God has in his word here. So how about just some encouragement and a reminder, especially today with everything going on in our world. Let's just let God remind us tonight, hey, children, you are mine. I saved you, And no matter how bad things get, just a little while longer and you're coming home. And we're going to sit down at the table and you're never going to have to get up and leave that table. And you're going to be with me forever through all eternity. So let's look at this. Verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Now, people oftentimes have heroes in the Bible, and Christ ought to be our number one. And some people say, boy, I think Peter would have been a great guy. I think Paul would have been. Boy, wouldn't you like to have met Moses and all these different people? You know what? I really like Bartimaeus. You know, he's Bartimaeus now. He's no longer blind Bartimaeus. He's only blind Bartimaeus up to a certain point of this story. It's like the prodigal son. He hadn't been prodigal for, you know, a couple thousand years, but that's what he was to start with. I like Bartimaeus. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, folks, here's this blind man sitting there. Traffic's going, people are going, so he's just sitting there, can't partake in anything, can't see anything. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Church, pray for me. It's going to be hard not to get ahead of myself. There is so much here, and I want to jump into all of it all at the same time. So pray that God will help me to pace myself. So here's Jesus, okay? He's passing by. And the question is, he's passing by, and he's coming near. And the question that I think needs to be asked tonight is, do you remember the day when Jesus passed by? You remember the day when Jesus came near? Because if you're saved, he passed by you one day. He came near you one day because he was looking for you. You weren't looking for him. The Bible tells us that for a certainty. But here is this blind man. He's sitting on the side of the road and he hears that Christ is coming by, the Messiah, and he begins to shout. Now, if we turn to, we're going to look at some different passages of Scripture to help us out tonight. If we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. See, you got to remember, I didn't teach Sunday school. I didn't preach this morning. So I've got like three sermons bottled up in here that are trying to get out tonight. 2 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 4. That's it. But you got to watch the clock. You know, it could be tie-shirt combination you have to watch for. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, what about the lost? In whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Here's a man who is physically blind. He can't do anything about it. Blind and can't do anything about it. And the Bible tells us that before we get saved, we are spiritually blind. Satan has blinded us. And that's why we by nature don't do the things of God. And that's why we're not looking for Him. We're blinded when we come into this world. We're blinded by sin. We're blinded by Satan. And here's a man sitting on the side of the road, blind, can't see, Can't do anything about it. Can't change it. It's not like you and I who close our eyes and can't see and then we just open them back up. You know, you could spend the whole day with your eyes closed and not even come close to knowing what the life of a blind person is like. Because there's more to being blind than just not being able to see. It affects all of their senses. And so here's a man, he's sitting here and he's blind. And he knows he's blind and he knows he can't do anything about it. And you and I are blinded by sin. And we can't do anything about it either. We're absolutely helpless. Life is going on and here he is sitting there just completely helpless. But the thing is, he knows he's helpless. And you and I couldn't get saved until we got to the point where we admitted, I'm blind, I'm in trouble, and I can't do anything about it. We have to get to that point. We have to get to that place. And then if we look in verse 46, not only is he blind, sitting by the highway side, he's begging. What a miserable, desperate situation. He's begging just for whatever he can get to get by. Whatever means someone will allow to him. And just as a beggar gets by on whatever people just happen to give to him. Okay, you have a beggar and his life just depends on what someone is allowing him to have. I want you to think about this. You and I, before we got saved, were just like a beggar getting by on the time that God was allowing us to have. Okay, so here we are, and we're lost, we're blind, we can't do anything about it, and we're basically beggars. You know, a beggar is kept alive by whatever somebody allows him to have or gives to him. And God allowed you just enough days and just enough time and grace and mercy. You woke up every morning breathing his air, drinking his water, eating his food, walking on his earth, under his sky, being warmed by his sunshine. Because he allowed you one more day, one more day, one more day. He was patient and long-suffering with you so that you'd have a chance to hear the gospel and get saved. Were we not beggars just getting by, hanging on long enough until we finally got what we needed? And why did God give us, when we rejected the gospel, why did he give us another chance to hear it? Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look, anyone who stands before God as judge, when he stands before God and God is their judge, which you and I as saved people will not do, but when the lost world stands before him and he is their judge, okay, it will be because, not because they ran out of time, not because God didn't give them a chance, it will be because they chose to reject God and they put themselves in that situation. And so here we are. Here's this man begging. And were we not the exact same way? Verse 47, and when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. When he had what? Heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Here's the man who was helpless, blind, begging, couldn't do anything about it. And word comes, there's somebody coming near. There's somebody passing by who can do something about this situation that I'm in. Look, maybe some of you have battled an illness and been to two or three doctors or specialists. And maybe somebody came to you and said, you know, I had the same thing and I went and saw Dr. So-and-so and he was able to help me out. Were you not excited And maybe you went to see that doctor and that doctor was able to help you, or you were able to get some kind of an answer. Maybe there was a time in your life when you were in some kind of desperate situation like that and thought there was no hope and thought there was no answer, and somebody came along and said, "Oh, hey, you know what? I had that same thing. And here's what I found out, and here's what you can do about it." And how exciting that is. Well, we were all in that situation before we got saved. I can't do anything about it. Man, what am I going to do? I am going to burn in a place called hell. But then somebody told you, "Hey, God became a man, went to the cross, died in your place for your sin, came back victorious over death. And if you'll repent and put your faith in Him, you'll be saved and you won't have to pay that penalty. He's already paid it. The wages of sin is death, and His death paid those wages, paid that penalty." Well, that's just like blind Bartimaeus sitting there and hearing Jesus is coming. Somebody that can help me is coming. And that's where we were when Jesus came near, when Jesus passed by. You know, maybe it's not such a good idea to call this sermon "When Jesus Passed By," because with blind Bartimaeus and with you and I as saved people, He didn't pass by us. But He did come near us. He didn't just keep right on going. He had every right to, you know it. Not only that, if you or I were in His shoes, we probably would have kept going. We probably would have passed most of this world up. So I'm glad that even though He was fully man, I'm so glad He was fully God. Because if He'd only been a man like us, He'd have passed probably all of us up. But being God in the flesh, He didn't walk past us. He came near us, and we heard about Him. Jesus was this man's only hope. He didn't need another doctor who couldn't do anything for him. He didn't need another professor to come and explain blindness to him and tell him that he was blind. Okay? He didn't need another doctor because they couldn't do anything. He didn't need an educated man to explain to him that he was blind. He knew he was blind. He didn't need a social worker to come by and to get him on programs just to help him limp by. Because if the doctor came by and the professor came by and the social worker came by and the friends came by to give pity, guess what? At the end of the day, he's still blind. He's still blind. And you didn't need another person to come and give you pity when you were lost. You didn't need another person to try to help make your life better and give you a new self-help book. You didn't need your self-esteem raised up. You could have self-esteem through the roof and you're still lost, dying on your way to hell. No doctor, no professor, no social worker, no friend. No matter what they did, no matter how encouraging it sounded, you were still lost. And even the person that came and explained to you from the Bible that you were lost and what to do about it, they couldn't do anything for you. You had to put your faith in the Jesus that they told you about so that He could save you and do something about it. He was your only hope. This man needed Jesus Christ to take away his blindness. You needed Jesus Christ to take away your blindness. Every lost person that is breathing right now on the face of this earth needs Jesus Christ to take away their blindness. It's never changed. The condition of man has not changed, and the answer, the cure for their condition has not changed and will not change. So the world changes around us, and the earth changes. I mean, the earth is changing, right? I mean, Al Gore explained that to us. You know, isn't that right? I mean, we're all about to be flooded out by the ice caps or whatever. Sun keeps coming up, sun keeps going down, God's still in control. whether you believe that we're heating up or not. Look, things around us change. Every 4 to 8 years, we get a new man in the White House. We get a new group of people. We get a new man up in Indianapolis. I don't know, maybe next year we'll get a woman in the White House. We don't know. Who knows? Maybe we'll have an arrogant businessman in the White House. I don't know. It always changes, doesn't it? Everything changes. The videos this morning that we saw were about 4 years old. And look at how many things have changed since then. Just in some of the leaders that it talked about. Look, it's always changing. It's always changing. But as the sun comes up every morning, it comes up on a world full of people that are just as lost as they were the night before when the sun went down. And when the sun goes down that night, it goes down on people that are just as lost as they were in the morning. Just as Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes, there are things in this world that just keep right on the way they've always been. And one of those things is there are lost people all around us. And when it was Washington, when it was Lincoln, when it was Eisenhower, when it was Kennedy, when it was Nixon, when it was Reagan, both Bushes, Clinton, lost people still in need of the gospel. And whoever's next, there will still be lost people in need of the gospel. Man's condition doesn't change, and the answer doesn't change. The only thing that will change an individual man's condition is for us to take him the answer and for him to properly respond to the answer. So, church, let the governments of the world pass whatever resolutions and laws and deals and all this that they want. Our job remains the same. Live for God and tell others how to come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so here's this man. He needs Jesus, and men today need Jesus. What did he do? He begins to cry out. You know, it's so different from a lot of the stories that we hear today. You know, we hear about people that are, and there's a little bit of this in the Bible, but we hear about people who are mildly interested. And then, when was the last time you encountered someone who was lost and realized they were lost and were desperate for the answer? Come on, we live in a world today where people just, I'll put it off, and I don't really think, and again, it doesn't matter what we think. The truth is the truth. We're lost and we need to be saved, and Christ is the only one that can save us. But when was the last time have any of us ever seen somebody get it? Man, I'm lost. And desperately cry out to God. This man did because he knew the shape that he was in. He knew his situation. He begins to cry out. And you know, the Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here's blind Bartimaeus. And he knows, hey, the answer is walking by. Jesus, thou son of David. Here's you and I. Lost, blinded. Somebody says, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Boom, that's me. Man, I'm in trouble. Hey, but Jesus went to the cross for you. And our response was, Jesus! Now maybe, there is no sinner's prayer in the Bible. You realize that. There's no set. That's why I'm not crazy about gospel tracts that put a sinner's prayer in it. I think it can be misleading at times. But your prayer to be saved, your words were probably different than mine. Mine were different than yours, and yours were different than his. But what mattered was, did you know you were blind? Did you know you couldn't do anything about it? Did you believe that Jesus Christ was the only one who could? Did you call on Him and put your faith in Him? Hey, maybe your words were different, but if we've done that, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he begins to call. He knew he needed help. In Luke chapter 18, we don't have to turn there, but in Luke chapter 18, you can read the story in verses 10 through 14 about the two men that go down to the temple to pray, and one of them is a Pharisee, and he boasts, and he doesn't think he has any needs, and the other man, what a wonderful picture, and I just love that passage in Scripture. The other man wasn't coming down to the altar. You know, he stood afar off, the Bible says, and he smote on his breast, he beat himself, and said, what, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew his situation. And he knew what he was. I mean, he knew God was the only answer. And he called upon the name of the Lord. And Jesus tells us in Luke 18 that that man was saved that day. The other man was not. That man, in the words of Jesus, was justified. He knew his situation. Blind Bartimaeus knew his situation. He knew he was lost. When you got saved, you knew you needed it, or you wouldn't be saved. You wouldn't be saved today if you hadn't come to that point where you knew you needed to be saved. Look, you don't go to the doctor unless you really think you're sick. Now, with us guys, it's a little bit different. Sometimes we know we're sick and we still don't go. And we don't get the help we need. Or maybe in today's economy, you just can't afford to go. I don't know. Maybe the funeral cost is cheaper than healthcare nowadays. Sure is a lot less red tape, I can tell you that much. Anyhow, you came to a point where you knew, hey, look, I'm blind, I'm lost. God, have mercy on me. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. And look what, in verse 47, look what Bartimaeus says. Jesus, thou son of David, what? Have mercy on me. He's crying out to him and he's saying, don't give me what I deserve. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve, and mercy is God withholding what we do deserve. Church, don't ever ask for fairness from God. You don't want what's fair. We don't want what we've got coming. I want mercy. I want grace. I'll take that over fairness any day. Verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know what? You also, when you got saved, maybe up until then, and not everybody's the same, but maybe up until then, some people stood in your way. Maybe it was a spouse, maybe it was parents, maybe it was siblings or friends or co-workers, but for whatever reason, maybe and maybe not, but some people are like this. Some people don't get saved for a while because they're listening to the voices around them and the ridicule around them. But you know when they got saved? When they quit listening to the people around them and just listened to Jesus Christ. Look, when they quit listening to these people who couldn't help them. I mean, look, what is the world's answer in opposition to Christianity? That there was nothing that exploded into some slime, and that slime became a frog, which became a monkey, which became a man. You're going to let that keep you out of heaven? You're going to let that keep you from Christ Jesus? They don't have an answer. But people do. They let man stand in their way. And here's a group of people that told him, hey, be quiet. Be quiet. Had he listened to the people around him, he'd still be blind Bartimaeus. But he didn't listen to the people around him, and he shut the voices out. And just like we've seen more than once here going through the book of Mark, you have to come to a place where you say, I don't care what mom and dad say if it doesn't line up with the Bible. I don't care what grandma and grandpa, I don't care what husband, I don't care what wife. If they are telling me something that's keeping me from Christ, I have to abandon what they're telling me and put my faith in Jesus Christ alone. I don't care how much money I have, just like the rich young ruler. He was putting his faith in money. We have to abandon it. We have to put our faith in Christ. We have to love him more than family, more than riches, more than anything that this world could give us. And when we abandon that, we don't let anybody stand in our way, then we're in a place where we can cry out to Christ. You know, these people here, it's funny, these people here that were telling him, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. Why would he listen to people telling him to be quiet when the people telling him to be quiet, they couldn't help him? They couldn't give him back his sight. But by his actions, blind Bartimaeus said, no, I'm not listening to you. There's the man that can give me my sight back. And a sinner has to get to the point when people are trying to stand in the way, a sinner has to get to the point where he says, no, you can't save me from hell. You don't have any answers. You're trying to tell me that granddaddy swung from a tree. No, I'm not listening to you. I'm going to this man called Jesus. Because he's the only one that has the answer. He is the answer. You know, here's something else. People try to stand in your way from getting saved, or after you get saved, try to stand in your way from serving God. Where are those people going to be when you stand before God? Are they going to be any help to you then? If a lost man stands before God, is this argument going to hold any weight? Yeah, but God, they told me. What good's that going to do them? Oh, but God, they said that I shouldn't. That's not going to hold water with God. Verse 49 says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Hey, you know, you call on Jesus to be saved, you get results. You're in blind Bartimaeus' shoes. I'm blind. I'm in trouble. I can't do anything about it. Christ is the one who can. You call on him, you get results. Jesus doesn't carry around a little book that he takes out and, no, I'm not helping him this week. Well, no, he's not one of the, as the Calvinists would tell us, elect. Ah, you're not on the list. No, he's, what I say earlier, the Bible says, he's long-suffering. He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Why did Jesus command, bring that man here? Because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus was in no way surprised that blind Bartimaeus was there. It was not a chance meeting. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And then the Bible says, and they call the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Be of good comfort. There is no comfort to be found in the philosophies of the world. There is no comfort to be found anywhere but in salvation in Christ Jesus alone. Only in Jesus Christ is there comfort. Church, we sang that song, Wonderful Peace. And like I said, it just meant so much more to me tonight than it ever has before. Wonderful peace. You know, we don't base what we believe on feelings. They change. But Christianity is not without its emotions. Now, we don't live by our emotions. We don't trust in our emotions. But look, the peace of God that comes from the promises of His Word, you can't explain that. You cannot explain that other than God puts that within us, that peace and comfort. I mean, what greater comfort than to know that you're going to go to hell, but now you're not? What greater peace could there be? And in verse 50, And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. That garment would have been that outer coat. And as he came to Jesus, that would have been cumbersome to him. It would have held him back. It would have gotten the way. We've already looked at this in this sermon and in other sermons in the book of Mark. Here he is throwing away anything that's going to hinder him from coming to Christ. And when you got saved, you had to forsake every belief, every idea, every opinion, every doctrine that would hinder you from coming to Jesus Christ. Every person that was pulling on your arm to stay in the world and not go to Christ, you had to shake them off and throw them off just as he threw off this garment. So many people do not get saved because they will not cast off that garment. So many people, after they get saved, will not grow in sanctification in the Lord because they want to put that garment back on. Or at least let's drape it over the shoulders. I'm not really wearing it. It's just kind of hanging over my shoulders here. And you know what? I'll tie it around my waist. I'm not really wearing it. I'm just going to tie it around my waist. Blind Bartimaeus threw that garment off, and you and I have to shed the filthy rags of our own self-righteousness and say, God, I am nothing, I have nothing, I can do nothing, and I'm forsaking anything that would tell me otherwise, and I'm running to you. He despised all of that. And then it says here that he came to Christ. Had he not, everything up to this point would have been in vain. Christ coming near, him calling out, him realizing, there's my answer. Look, had he not responded to all of those truths, it would have all been in vain. And how shameful that God became man and lived a perfect life and went to the cross of Calvary and died for our sin and went to the grave and came back from the grave and ascended into heaven, gave us a book, put it in our hands. What a shame that anyone still ends up in hell after all of that. But the shame is on us. The lost person that hears the gospel, shame on you. You had everything you needed. Shame on us for not telling people. But he came to Jesus. Turn with me real quick here to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. All would have been in vain up to that point if blind Bartimaeus hadn't responded properly. And look, you can witness to a lost person. There are lost people that can tell you. You know what? I think maybe there are some lost people that could witness better than some Christians, because they know the plan of salvation. They've heard it so many times. They've rejected it so many times. Just knowing how to be saved doesn't save you. Just hearing how to be saved does not save you. It's faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then, finally, Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight. Now look, and followed Jesus in the way. A lot of Christians receive their sight and then decide not to follow Jesus. Why wouldn't you follow him? A starving dog shows up on your porch step tomorrow and you feed him. That dog is not leaving your house. If you don't want him to stay, don't feed him. You know it. Don't feed him. Don't feed him or he'll never go home. Had Brother Denny tell you about the kitten sometime that showed back up later. Outside of church. Have him tell you outside of church. don't feed that dog, we'll never get rid of it. Yeah, because he's starving and he found somebody that had something that he needed, had some food. You were lost and on your way to hell. Christ just gave you what you needed. Why wouldn't you follow him? He got the answer he needed. He got the answer that he needed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Modern versions of the Bible say his one and only Son. That's a lie, because I'm one of his sons, you're one of his sons. He has many sons. He only has one begotten Son, which is God in the flesh. That's what makes the difference between us being his children and Christ being his child. His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But what does he say made him whole? His faith. For by grace are you saved through what?
Faith.
Faith. So here's blind Bartimaeus. Blind. Can't do anything about it. Life is just passing him by. The answer steps on the scene. And he responds correctly. And he walks away with his sight. That was you and I. That's our story, folks. Here's a room full of blind, how would you say it? Bartimaei? Bartimaeuses? That's what we were. That's what we were. Would to God that everyone in that situation that heard the answers here would respond. They don't. But now that should not discourage us from going out and preaching the gospel. We don't know who's going to respond. We just don't know. And that's not up to us. Let's pray and then have a hymn of invitation.